It's Wednesday, December 14th, and this is Geek Nights. We're not really going to talk about much because today sucked, but there is some anime news.
Let's do this. So we've been sitting here for the last hour, and there's nothing to talk about today at all.
He ain't kidding.
Yeah. I mean, it's anime day. Normally we have a lot to talk about, but we haven't gotten any Netflixes in to watch yet because we've been busy doing other things.
And Netflix has been a little slow.
Yeah, suddenly. I don't know if anyone else is having trouble, but Netflix suddenly just slowed the fuck down.
Yeah, but hopefully it'll pick back up soon.
Yeah. But anime news, we got a bunch of that because it's anime day and we can talk about it, but there's really nothing else that either we have interesting commentary on or that you would care about.
I mean, if you don't believe me, go look at the headlines on the geek news sites for Wednesday, December 14th, and you're going to see some pretty dumb crap.
I mean, all right, here, let's look through some of these headlines on Slashdot. So, IBM promotes Linux partners to highest tier. Well, I work for IBM, and that stuff doesn't really mean anything.
Yep. Let's find another one that has a whole lot of comments.
All right.
Here's one. New object found at edge of solar system.
Great.
Beyond Pluto.
So people have been saying that off and on a lot for a long time.
Mm.
And we're not going to get there anytime soon.
Nope. It's just a rock. Means nothing. Oh, here's one with a whole lot of comments. Cyber attacks on U.S. linked to Chinese military.
Huh. China would have a vested interest in attacking U.S. IT infrastructure?
Yeah, they do.
Huh? Fancy that. I never would have guessed.
Me either.
Star Wars Galaxies. Apparently LucasArts broke it, and the fans are all complaining.
I would complain, too. They freaking changed the game. It's not the same game you bought. It's like, come on, man.
The thing is, I have no sympathy for the people playing it, because if you're playing a game and you're paying for it, and they change it and you don't like it anymore, stop paying.
Oh, yeah.
If you keep paying, you're just rewarding them for hurting you.
You know, wait, Lucas seems to have a trend of making things and then changing them later.
Oh, who shot first?
I don't know. I forget, because he changed every copy of the film except for the ones that we have.
Yes.
And you cannot take them unless we...
Let this go down into posterity in case centuries or millennia from now, archaeologists discover this show and they listen to it. No matter what evidence you find to the contrary... Han Solo shot first.
Not only did he shoot first, Greedo didn't shoot at all.
He just slumped over.
Yep, and there was an explosion of smoke from under the table to signify this.
Oh, the Dungeons & Dragons online MMO moved from alpha to beta.
Yep, exciting.
And almost everyone who plays it says it sucks.
Oh my god, I just had a vision. We had to go back a little bit. You know, who's that guy? Charlton Heston, right? And he holds the gun and he says... From my cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
Replace a gun with a Star Wars DVD that's correct. Or like the Laserdisc.
We should do that.
We should.
But the D&D online MMO, I mean, I was real excited about it when I first heard.
I wasn't excited at all. I knew
it was
going to be crap.
I was excited and an optimistic. If they do this right, it would be awesome. And you know what? They didn't do it right.
I don't think it can be done right.
Yeah, it could if you set it, because there were services a long time ago where basically, yeah, there was a bunch of dungeon master types who ran the game, and they just played NPCs and ran content for all the players, and it was just this role-playing thing.
That's not a D&D MMO.
Why not? Dungeons & Dragons, and it's massively multiplayer. If you have 1,000 DMs playing NPCs and just running plots for whatever players are in the game all the time, and you happen to use the D&D rules...
You can't make that work.
Yeah, you could. The problem is it'd be expensive because you have to hire all those DMs.
Even so, it wouldn't work.
Actually, it did work. There were a lot of games like that in the 90s.
Yeah, each game was like 5 people.
No. Actually, I don't have it handy now, but because I used to play a bunch of them, and the more popular ones had a couple hundred people.
All right, now do that with 50,000 people.
Well, 50,000
people altogether
means you have a lot more money, so you hire a lot more dungeon masters.
All right, but now what you're going to do is you're going to raise to pay those dungeon masters. You're not going to be able to compete with other MMOs and charge a reasonable price.
Oh, well, yeah. The thing is, it'd be so much better. Maybe people would be willing to pay.
Nah, it wouldn't work.
You don't know.
Because you know what? Even if people are willing to pay, there won't be enough people willing to pay that much money. You won't recoup the development cost of developing the game in the first place.
There might not be so much to develop other than things that we could just do here in our spare time if we were bored.
No, making a game that you can sell these days is like millions and millions of dollars. At least if you want it to be published by a major publisher.
And oh, screw that.
If you're going to have a D&D license, which costs a lot of money, you're going to need to do, you know, no, that alone.
See, it doesn't have to be specifically D&D. I use D&D.
Well, there's the problem. It's a D&D MMO. That's what it is.
No, it's not. It's nothing. It's just a crap MMO that happens to be attached to D&D.
That's why I said it was crap in the first place. But other people, because it had the D&D license, thought it was so great. Well, I said because it has the D&D license, it's crap.
Oh, doesn't that make you special?
It does, because I know what's crap and what's not.
See, the thing is, you said it was crap before we knew anything about it. I said, I don't know. I hope it's good.
I knew it had the D&D license, and I knew that it was an MMO. That's all I needed to know.
So I hoped it would be good.
There is no way to make an MMO with the D&D... Hoped.
Wait, so you're saying there's no way. You're absolutely certain.
There is no way to make an MMORPG with the D&D license that also does not suck.
You know, once again, because you didn't listen to me, I meant D&D. When I say D&D, I mean role-playing as a generic sense. I use that word the way I use Kleenex or Band-Aid.
Yeah.
You could use GURPS. You could use any number of a million systems that work just fine.
But we knew that it had the D&D system, and therefore I knew that it would suck.
Okay.
And I was right.
Great.
That's what I was saying. Fair. Appear. Anyway, there's other crap news. Here. This is like the second most commented slash that story of the day. What makes a good web font?
Splendid.
Yeah, today, the news tap had just like molasses coming out.
Well, there's real news in the real world, but you guys know all about that anyway.
Yeah, we don't want to become a real news show.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get right on into it. Things of the day.
All right. So my thing of the day, this isn't a cool thing like I usually have, or a cute thing, or an interesting thing.
No.
This is just something that ticked me off a lot. Now, actually, if you read the site, it actually is interesting because you'll wonder, how could people believe this? But basically, about.com, and this is all over Dig, and it's all over Delicious, and it frightens me that people are so interested in this. But basically, this article is the 10 most puzzling ancient artifacts. And it brings up all these supposedly unexplained weird phenomena all over the world that prove like aliens exist or whatever.
Well, if it's just an artifact.
No, they're not. I'll explain.
All right.
So one of them are these grooved spheres that people claim they've been finding in like South African mines, like inside of fossils and inside of ancient rocks recently. And they claim that they're dated to, you know, 2.8 billion years ago, but they look man-made. The problem is, they don't say that they've never been tested. No one's ever actually touched these things. They're described as composed of a solid bluish metal with flecks of white. Because I'm sure if a scientist, you know, tested one of these things, he couldn't tell you that it was just a piece of metal or what kind of metal it was.
And they've never actually done a carbon test?
You can't carbon test inorganic, Scott.
Oh, I didn't know. Right.
Carbon dating is actually kind of crappy for most things.
Yeah.
But they're just, or like these Dropa stones, these are even worse. Basically, to sum up, these are some sphere, like disc-shaped stones that have some markings on them. And this crackpot scientist claims that the markings on them, which are almost microscopic, are actually this ancient alien language that he was able to translate. And apparently it depicts alien ships that crashed on Earth of these people called the Dropa and whose descendants left them in this cave. Except that, one, these were totally debunked, you know, dozens and dozens of times. And two, the guy who talks about them sells them.
He sells them?
Sells them. You can buy them from him.
Does he have an infinite supply?
I don't know. The only...
Because if it was really stones from aliens, you would imagine there's only a few of them. And he doesn't have so many.
Oh, he found a whole bunch of them. Hundreds of stone discs.
Hundreds of them, eh?
Buried in the dust of ages on the cave floor.
So we could somehow buy them all, and then he wouldn't have any more.
The only other person who has ever even made reference to these things in a positive light is the scientist who, surprisingly enough, also sells them.
Oh.
Basically, of the 10 things on this site, 7 of them have been 100% fully and beyond a reasonable doubt debunked by science.
Wow.
And what, the only one that's even legitimate is the Baghdad Battery.
What's the Baghdad Battery?
It was a battery. Well, it was an artifact that was found a while ago in around where Baghdad is today.
All right.
And it was basically a battery. It was a clay pot with a rod through it, and it basically, if you fill it with an acidic or an alkaline liquid, it generated a small current. And it looks like they used it in ancient times to electroplate things with various metals, like gold.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Why is that an unexplained artifact?
Because they talk about, oh, how come humans had batteries so long ago, and then they didn't have them anymore, and then they rediscovered them.
Because they didn't realize that it was electricity in a battery, and they just knew that it was a way to plate things, and they didn't realize that it was also a way to
make... No, that's not the issue.
Make,
the issue is that in the Middle Ages, they didn't have electroplating or anything. The knowledge was lost. You know, Dark Ages?
Oh, maybe the knowledge was lost, but also it could have been that just people didn't want to plate things anymore, so they didn't do it and thus forgot.
No, most likely the knowledge was just lost during the Dark Ages.
Hmm. Yeah. But it could have been like one asshole came up with electroplating, because we've only found one battery, right?
I believe they found more since then. There's actually a lot of cool articles on these batteries.
No, that's pretty cool. All right, but if it was like just a few, it could have been like one asshole figured it out and didn't tell anyone, and then he died.
Well, considering the preponderance of electroplated artifacts from that era.
Oh, all right then.
Yeah.
Never mind.
And similar things have been found in other older ancient cultures.
Just guessing possibilities.
Yeah, yeah. But pretty much everything else on this website is just complete bullshit.
I'm sure Randy will find out about it and make a nice little talkie on Friday.
So I urge all of you out there who use Delicious, if you see things like this, you know, that's just obviously false, tag it with the Flim Flam tag.
Yeah, and if you want to see a list of things that are false, just go to delicious.com/tag/flimflam. One word. Flim
all flam. One word. FLIMFLAM.
Yep. And you'll see all kinds of things that are bullshit. So if you see something and you're not sure if it's quite right or not, you can ask Randy. You can go search his site, or you can check Delicious Flim Flam and see if we've found it also, because we might have, and tagged it properly.
Now, Randy, of course, being James Randy, the founder and leader of the James Randy Educational Foundation.
Which is the premier organization for finding complete bullshit like this and pointing it out.
We're going to do a whole show on Randy at some point, and actually, we're going to try to interview him if we can, but that's down the road.
Way down the road. All right. My thing of the day.
Yeah.
If you're in prison, they don't let you have so much stuff. They really only let you have, what, your clothes, like some plastic utensils in the kitchen.
Prison ain't so bad. You can make sangria in the toilet. Of course, it's shank or be shanked.
Of course.
Yeah, Futurama. Anyway.
You know, you get a towel, get a roll of toilet paper, maybe a plastic bag. You know, you don't get a lot of stuff. So prisoners who need things or want things... and having a lot of time to think about things, are really good at finding ingenious ways to combine normal everyday items into other objects. And there's, in fact, websites and other things devoted to collections of interesting and intuitive and ingenuitive prisoner inventions. And some of them are actually really cool.
Can you give us an example?
Well, some guys made a chess set by carving out pieces of soap into pieces.
All right.
Another guy took a roll of a plastic bag, and he rolled some, a towel around it, and he turned it into sort of like a love buddy.
Great.
Yeah.
Why didn't you steal a banana from the cafeteria?
I don't know. Because it's shank or be shanked.
Of course.
Of course. All right, here we go. They also made a cigarette lighter out of almost nothing.
What do you mean almost nothing? Like out of the air?
All right, well, they took a couple of paper clips, right? And, you know, he took some ice cream spoons and he glued them together with paper clips in them to make a plug that can go into the outlet in the wall. And then... He had more paper clips coming out going into a salt water solution. And he'd get the electricity and use that to light cigarettes, you know, because there was a little where the paperclip came out. There was a little. He made a little coily bit and it heated up. He could also plug devices into it if he had a something that plugged into the wall. That's pretty cool.
Uh huh.
I mean, I wouldn't have the balls to stick paperclips into the outlet in the wall, trying to make a thing to light cigarettes and power devices.
And being shocked by 110 volts isn't so bad.
Isn't it 120?
Actually, there's a lot of... It's 110 and it's 120.
Awesome.
It can be anywhere between, because it's actually neither. And depending on what school of electricity you went to or just where you live, people say 110, 220, or 120, 240.
Not bad.
It's pretty much 50-50. Maybe we'll do a show about that if we get bored enough.
Yeah. But that's pretty crazy, making a cigarette lighter that plugs into the wall out of paper clips. Wow.
So I guess prisoners aren't stupid, or at least they're canny like animals.
Well, some of them are not stupid.
Well, considering that most people in prison in the U.S. today are in there for nonviolent crimes that didn't hurt anyone but themselves.
Yeah, it's sad.
You know, smoking a little bit of marijuana or being a dissident.
Everything sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Suck, suck, suck.
Mostly just because we got nothing to talk about today, and this is like the worst show we've done yet.
Yeah, now I see why a lot of people don't do the daily shows.
I promise we'll have better tomorrow, at least.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Really? Because something has to happen tomorrow. But I guess I never really thought about, like, this. You know, it feels like there's always something happening. So I never really imagined that there would be a day where nothing happened.
At least nothing happened that we can really talk about on the show that you'll care about.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of stuff happened. Iran said the Holocaust didn't happen. Tookie Williams got executed. There's riots all over Sydney. There's the riots in France were going on, but...
They're still going on in France?
Not per se, but there's still a lot of racial violence going on is the aftermath.
Great. Yeah, great.
So anyway, it's anime day.
Mm-hmm. Hooray!
And we haven't seen any new anime except Mushishi, which we're still watching.
Mushishi's great. Waiting for episode 8, I think, now.
Yeah.
Mm. All right.
So, remember Shinsen Subs? We talked about them last anime day.
How Funimation went and harassed them and said, hey, stop torrenting.
Well, we got a follow-up as to why that happened.
Well, apparently, Shinsen was actually still distributing many licensed available things.
Oh.
So they deserve what they got.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's one of the standpoints of the anime community is that the piracy's there. There's a lot of piracy. But there's kind of this code of honor where most people stop distributing or stop downloading and the DVDs still get bought. Everyone makes their money and no one goes after anyone. When a group like Shinsen kind of breaks the code, bad things happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a delicate balance, and frankly, I want to keep getting my fan subs. So, bad fan subbers out there, stop it.
It's like the code of the schoolyard.
Yeah.
You know, you might be able to break the code of the schoolyard, and, you know, you'll screw things up, and you might get ahead on that, but later, everyone will come and destroy you. So, I highly don't recommend doing that.
Though, actually, some cool news. Viz is putting out their signature collection of manga.
In other words, the manga that Scott likes.
Yeah. They say it's going to be a more sophisticated, mature manga.
See, they used to have the Editor's Choice manga, and that would be all the really cool mangas that weren't crazy popular or well-known, but they were like the ultra-high quality. You know, kind of like Citizen Kane. No one really likes to watch it, but it's really good.
I like to watch it. What's wrong with you?
It's not really as entertaining as, like, The Matrix. I could watch The Matrix 100 times. I could not watch Citizen Kane nearly as many times.
I could probably watch Citizen Kane more than I could watch The Matrix.
Well, I'm talking about the first one only here.
All right.
But, I mean, I could watch the first Matrix a bajillion times, and every time I'm like, yeah!
Well, that's you.
No, that's how it is. But anyway, these are, like, the high-quality mangas of awesome.
Like, Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, I got the first volumes of Phoenix from the Editor's Choice printing. I'm kind of disappointed that they're going to reprint it. I'm wondering if they're going to reprint the Phoenix that was never printed yet, because I've got 5 volumes, and I know there's more Phoenix than in those 5 volumes.
Mm.
So if they reprint the more of Phoenix in a different like size or shape or cover, that's not going to look good on my shelf.
But this could be really good because, I mean, not too long ago, we discovered a type of manga that we'd known about it, but we discovered it as in we got it and read it all. Manga that we'd never really known, like mature, Yakuza, the kind of manga we like, yep, that we didn't really know existed. It's pretty serious much the opposite stuff of the popular manga out now.
Yep.
Like Sanctuary,
mm-hmm,
Eagle.
Mm-hmm. Yep, apparently they're going to put Golgo 13 in this new line, ooh, of manga, and I might buy that. Because
yeah, for those of you who don't know, Golgo 13, take Lupin and James Bond and put them together and then make it more serious.
Yep, it's very serious and not funny. I mean, and there's a whole lot of Golgo 13 stuff. There's animes and video games and all kinds of stuff.
The video games all suck. Yeah, oh my God.
The manga is the real deal, or so I've heard.
Yeah, we haven't actually read it.
So when that comes out, I'll definitely be buying it. At least the first volume to see if it's good.
But I think this is going to be a really good thing, mostly because a lot of these manga either never came out in the U.S. or some things, like, they were released here, but they're out of print and they're really rare and hard to find. It took us for freaking ever to get all the Sanctuary together.
Yeah, now I finally, it's easy to find and know where it's at. But, you know, that's not, it's thing is, back in the days when anime was still new, and that was sort of what the popular thing was before Tokyopop discovered, like, Little Girl Shoujo was the way to go. Then those are the kinds of mangas they were bringing over. You would get your Crying Freeman and your Sanctuary and your Eagle and all that stuff.
And they didn't sell that well just because the market wasn't that big back then.
Yeah, and then when they switched up the market and Tokyopop came around a couple years ago and they started doing what they're doing now, they didn't really reprint those things and they've been out of print and no one cared about them and forgot about them. Except for the people like us.
Yep. We kind of discovered them, and they were awesome, and we could never find them. I remember we'd be digging through discount or bargain, whatever, bins in the middle of conventions looking for, like, one random episode or one random issue or something.
Yeah, like First President of Japan.
Yeah.
Something like that. All right, so Ghibli is making a new movie.
Ghibli!
Now, there's two bits of news about this movie.
Two?
Yeah, the first bit of news about this movie is that it's being directed by his son, Miyazaki's son.
Huh.
Gorō Miyazaki. And Miyazaki, supposedly, is not so happy because he doesn't want his son to be a director.
Why?
It doesn't say.
Hmm. Oh, well, we'll see how it turns out.
It just says Miyazaki Sr. does not want his son to become a director. I don't know what that's about, but all right, just keep that in mind.
Great.
Two, the movie, a lot of Ghibli movies are based on books and things. What was, wasn't Howl based on some book, children's book?
Based on a book called Howl's Moving Castle.
Oh, right. Okay. This is actually based on a book that I've heard of and read. I've actually read all of the series of books except for one, which I have and I just didn't read yet. The Earthsea series by Ursula K. Le Guin.
I've always been meaning to read those.
It's real easy to read. If you haven't read it, just go get all the volumes. You could read them all in like a couple days because they're not written at the highest reading level, you know, in terms of big words, and it's really fast to read. You know, a teenager could read it in like a week, you know, all of them. But it's very deep in its meaning, so even someone who's old can get a lot out of it. I didn't even find it until like, you know, two or three years ago.
In fact, didn't you buy a bunch? You bought a bunch of them at Wildwood.
Yeah, I bought all of them at Wildwood.
Didn't you leave one out in the rain?
No, that was kidnapped by the guy who wrote Treasure Island.
Ah,
it was a pirate book.
I just remember that because we all went inside and there you saw this book laying out and you thought it was my book, so you left it outside. You know, haha, screw Rim. And then you went out the next day and it was your book.
And it rained. The rain was the problem. Anyway, so the book, the name of the movie is called Gedo Senki, Tales from Earthsea. Gedo, I know this because I could figure it out. The name of the main character in Earthsea is Ged, G-E-D. So calling it Gedo Senki, it's like, I think it's the story of Ged or something like that. And I don't know. Well, we can ask Emily, someone who knows Japanese. Tales from Earthsea, which is the universe, that the world that the book is written in. And there's actually a poster for the movie available online that I can see. And it shows Ged, obviously staring up and looking at this dragon, right? And looking at it, I can go, yeah, that's about, you know, having seen many Ghibli movies and read all the books, I can look at that and I say, yeah, that's pretty accurate. You know, that's about what I expected. And that means it's probably going to be really good. However, the one thing that bothers me is that Ged, at least as far as I can see him in this picture, is really white. And a big part of the story is that he's not really white. He's, like, dark.
So what's this I hear about a Naruto marathon?
Well, you know how, like, on New Year's, like, the TV channels tend to do big marathons of things?
Yeah, I remember watching All Bond last year.
Oh, I like the All Bond ones. I like the All Twilight Zones on Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, or The Outer Limits sometimes.
Well, Cartoon Network, they used to do, like, these cartoon things where they would show the cartoons that were only on Cartoon Network. They would just keep showing those all day for, like, the whole weekend even sometimes. And I liked it. I remember when I first got Cartoon Network, that's what they had on. And it was like, ooh, all right. But it looks like you can really tell that things are changing in this country because on December 31st is going to be 8.5-hour Naruto marathon.
Great.
17 straight episodes.
Oh, well, that's cool if you like Naruto.
Yep. I'm not the biggest fan of Naruto. I think I watched the first 13 episodes, and then I realized that the last, like, 8 of them were a single fight.
The show was much better when they were in ninja school, and it was just funny ninja school antics.
Yeah, I know. It's like you watch the first few episodes, you're like, this is the greatest show, ninja school. You read the first manga. You're like, ninja school, yes! The rest of the thing isn't about ninja school.
It's just fighting.
They should have just made a ninja school manga. It would have been the greatest. I would still be buying it. Oh, well. It's going to make some people happy.
Yep.
And it definitely shows that anime is seriously on the move. And the last thing isn't really so important. Sunrise, you know, the animation studio that does, like, Cowboy Bebop and all those other good shows, you know, usually under Bandai. They're making a new robot show, which means potential new good anime.
We'll see.
I'm not saying it is good, but it shows more potential than most of the shows that I've seen in the past couple years. So, it's called Zegapain. Zegapain? Zegapain?
So it's Zegapain? A robot show.
I'm not sure. It looks like it might be a one robot show, which is the good kind. So we're going to have to find out.
It could be. I mean, Gundam Seed wasn't a one robot show.
That's true. I'm not saying only the one robot shows are good. I'm saying this looks like it has serious potential for good.
Yeah. Also, I point out that you hate Giant Robo, which is the quintessential one robot show.
I don't like Giant Robot so much.
Giant Robo is awesome.
I like Gigantor.
In fact, it's in the Netflix queue. We're going to watch it.
No, I'm not going to watch it.
Oh, fine.
Gigantor. Yeah.
So, basically, we had nothing today. This is probably the low point. I mean, we get off days every now and then. You got to give us that.
Yeah, at least we're not like, you know, not every Penny Arcade comic is equal, but they come out with one. Even if they come out with it at 4 p.m.
Nah, man, no. I found that one funny, today's Penny Arcade, mostly because Scott and I have basically had that exact conversation multiple times, only with different words and different bits, but the same idea.
Yep. It's always scary how comics and things mirror real life.
Yeah. Or course, maybe real life mirrors comics and things. Dun, dun, dun.
BBOCS always did the best job of that.
God.
Bastard.
Yep. All right. Anyway, we got nothing. Rather than forcing ourselves to talk for a lot longer, you'll get an extra long episode tomorrow with good stuff.
Yeah.
We'll get some sleep. And hopefully stuff will happen in the world that we can complain about.
Visit our website.
Actually, yeah, visit the forums, because the show from Monday is still generating a lot of arguments and feedback and yelling and screaming, and it's fantastic.
Which gives high hopes for next Monday's show, which is a continuation.
Because our How to Buy or How to Build a Computer series looks like it's going to be our most popular series ever.
Yeah, I guess the informative does work, and we were trying to shy away from it. What do we know?
Yeah.
So, frontrowcrew.com.
Yeah, go to the website.
Go there. I know people are listening who have never been there. Go.
Yeah, we know actually quite a number of people are listening.
Yeah. Frontrowcrew.com. And then click on forum and then talk. It is fun.
Ha! If you don't join our forums, we'll keep doing shows like today's instead of ones like Monday and Tuesday.
No, then you'll just stop listening and go away.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. We're out. And tomorrow, hopefully, we'll have something.
Hopefully.
Woo!
Prepared.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the opening music.
Thanks for listening.
Please remember to point your favorite podcatcher at feeds.feedburner.com/geeknights to get the latest episodes as soon as they're released. Also, please visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com for the latest updates and forum discussions. And whether you love or hate our podcast, we won't know unless you send your feedback to us at geeknights@gmail.com.